during the final week of Jesus' ministry, after his triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And let me just say, that's what we're doing during Lent. We are taking time to examine more closely all of the events in Jesus' final week. And so last Sunday, we began Lent with Palm Sunday and the entry into Jerusalem. And so let me tell you, according to Mark's gospel, that night after they had entered Jerusalem triumphantly, they slipped away to Bethany, and the text doesn't mention that they ate breakfast before they headed back to Jerusalem the next day. And maybe, I think that's actually an important point to note. They returned to Jerusalem. Jesus must have been hungry, and so the disciples as well. And let's just pick up the story right there as we read, beginning with chapter 11, verse 12. On the following day, when they came from Bethany, he was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to see whether perhaps he would find anything on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. He said to it, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard it. Then they came to Jerusalem, and he entered the temple and began to drive out those who were selling and those who were buying in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who had sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry anything through the temple. He was teaching and saying, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of robbers." And when the chief priests and the scribes heard it, they kept looking for a way to kill him, for they were afraid of him, because the whole crowd was spellbound by his teaching. And when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out of the city. The word of God for the people of God. If you have heard this joke, do not interrupt me, okay? A clergyman dies and goes to heaven, and he's standing in line at the gates. There's a man in front of him. St. Peter says to this man in front of him, who has sunglasses, like a Hawaiian shirt, a leather jacket, you know, blue jeans on. St. Peter says to him, "Who are you, so that I can check my list and see if you can come through the gates of heaven?" And the man says, "My name is Joe Cohn. I'm a taxi driver from," I'm imagining his accent would have been, "New York City. Taxi driver from New York City." St. Peter looks at his list, he smiles, and he says to the taxi driver, "Take this silken robe and golden staff, and you may enter the gates to the kingdom of heaven." Well, the clergyman standing there in line is chomping at the bit to get up there and get, you know, his stuff. So he steps up to Peter. Peter says, "Tell me your name so that I can consult my list and see if you can enter the kingdom of heaven." The man says, "I am Joseph Snow, pastor of St. Peter's Church for these last 43 years. I'm sure he's thinking he's going to get a special deal because it was St. Peter's Church, right? St. Peter looks at his list and he takes out a cotton robe and a wooden staff and hands them to Reverend Snow. Says, "You may enter the gates into the kingdom of heaven." "Now, just a minute," says the Reverend. "Why did that guy get a silken robe and a gold staff, and I get cotton and wood?" And St. Peter says, "Oh, it's very simple, Reverend Snow. We work by results here in heaven. When that man drove, people prayed. When you preached, people slept." Now, You've heard a joke like that or something similar at some point in your life. And the reason why I bring it up occasionally is because of the way the joke makes me feel. I am worried that there's not enough here for you when you're worshiping with us. You're not getting a message that can keep you awake. I don't want to be the preacher that preaches the sermons that put you to sleep. I want to be the preacher that says a word to you and you spring into action out there in the world, building the kingdom of God. How can I be that kind of preacher? The last thing you want is to be part of a ministry that gets no results. You don't want that, do you? We want to lead people to a living God who can move mountains and help them find meaning and purpose in their life. And so, how can we as a church make a difference in people's lives? That's the question that I want us to think about today. Now, this text, I preached a lot of sermons about cleaning out the temple. But I realized that one of the pieces that I left out was this fig tree. And so today, I wanted to spend some time focusing on it. Now, at first glance, when you read this text, Jesus just curses a fig tree because he's angry, he's hungry, and there's not anything to eat. I mean, that's not everything that's going on in this text. This is lifted up here in Mark because Jesus wanted to compare this fig tree to the religion of his day. He wanted to teach the disciples a lesson, and it's clear that the disciples heard it. The text says in verse 14 they heard it, and if you read on in Mark, you will see that there's even more explanation that follows about the fig tree in Mark. Now, let's talk about fig trees a minute. It is not the season for figs. This fig tree should have had some buds on it in the time of year that we're talking about. It was April, Passover time, and fig trees in Palestine and here in Virginia usually produce small edible buds the first part of the season. And you can eat those. Peasants depended on them as a little snack when they were on their journey. They were common food for people. In an absence of buds by April and green leaves on the tree meant that the tree would not have any fruit at all this year. It was going to be a year when no figs would be produced. It should be buds that you can eat. When they drop off, the leaves come, and then it's the coming of the fig. It was an absolutely fruitless fig tree. And Jesus cursed it to teach the disciples a lesson. And that lesson was this. Jesus wanted his followers to be fruitful. He wanted them to make a difference in people's lives. He wants his followers to lead people to God who can change them from the inside out. The Jewish religion of Jesus' day had become fruitless. That's what the fruitless fig tree represents here in this story. That's why the stories are told together. Many of the Old Testament prophets, in fact, and I'll list them, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Micah, Haggai, and Jeremiah had compared the religion of their day to fruitless fig trees. So Jesus picks up the metaphor that all the people would have understood in that day, and he comes on the scene And he describes the barrenness of what is going on in the temple today by comparing it to a fig tree. Saying essentially, this religion you're doing today is fruitless. You're not bringing anyone closer to God. In fact, the rituals and practices are actually keeping people away from God. No one is growing closer to God in this situation. And every time I tell that stupid joke at the beginning, and every time that I read this text, I ask myself, what am I doing right now in my church that is fruitless and pointless and empty and is not leading people closer to God? I wish I could have found a picture of the bear bottle. Now, whatever happened to the cotton that was in the bottle of bear aspirin? Does anyone know? Now, this morning, Chad Bacher, who is a pharmacist, as you know, works for pharmacy at the hospital, explained to us the reason that the cotton was originally in there. When they first started making Bayer aspirin, the pills were so fragile that when you shook them around, they would break and you would have problems with misdosing. But they took care of that problem a long, long time ago. Bayer has been selling aspirin since 1914, and it was only 20 years ago that the cotton that was in there disappeared. It was 50, 60 years ago when they started making the pills so that they wouldn't fall apart when you shook them. Chris Allen, Bayer's vice president of technical operations, said almost 20 years ago now, we concluded that there really wasn't any reason to keep the cotton in the bottles except tradition. And he also said in the same press release, and it's also really hard to get out. Do you remember that, how hard it was to get out? You used to get tweezers, then a pencil, trying to pry the stuff out to get in there. Well, it's exactly the same as what we're talking about here. It was just an empty tradition that they had with aspirin bottles. Just like an empty religion that is not leading anyone closer to God. Some things that they were doing in the church of Jesus' day were useless. They were pointless. They were a hardship. I mean, how ridiculous would it be if I came from another country to visit the temple and they wouldn't take my money? They wouldn't take the money from the country where I was coming from, so I had to visit the money changer here in the temple, and I got ripped off in the exchange rate so that I could make an offering at the temple. And what's wrong with my lamb? When they come in and look at my lamb that I bring to sacrifice, they say, no, sir, that's not clean. You got to buy one of our lambs to sacrifice. People were being ripped off. That wasn't bringing anyone closer to God. Jesus wanted the religion of his day to bear fruit, not be a fruitless fig tree. The question we have to ask ourselves is how? How can we be, as a body of believers, fruitful in the world that we're in today? How can we bear fruit for the glory of God? How did Jesus deal with the fruitless religion? You read the story, you heard it. He cleaned everything out that day. He threw them all out. He wanted them to change everything that they were doing. And you know, they didn't. And what happened to their temple? It got torn down a few years later, destroyed. It had been going on for years. this fruitless religion that Jesus came to change. He didn't want to start a new religion. He wanted to reform the religion of his day, and ultimately he did start us on a new path, and Christianity was born from his life and ministry. We are not ripping anybody off at Slash. Your offering is good no matter where you come from, no matter who raised you or where you are. But are there some things that we could do better, different? Are there some things that we're doing that aren't fruitful for the kingdom? These are the questions as we explore the final week of Jesus' life that we need to ask ourselves, that we need to place before us in our time of meditation and prayer. The lesson of the fig tree is that as Christians we should bear spiritual fruit, that we should grow in our relationship with God, that we should be available and helping lead others closer to God. Let's work on our relationship with God during Lent, and let's work on helping others meet God. Amen? Amen. Amen.